The following program is part of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is former WWE superstar and ECW general manager, Armando Alejandro Estrada.
You are tuned in to the one that innovated it all.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God!
The evolution of online sports entertainment is back.
The boss is back!
WrestleTalk Radio is back on the air. Join us as we follow all the news and views from the WWE, TNA, and the indie circuit. With Spug.
I like your poetry.
Like what you do to babies.
And the Omega Man.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want. I call the shots.
And now, get ready for WTR.
Politically incorrect.
I'm damn proud of it.
And you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Live.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WrestleTalk Radio Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am the Omega. My usual co-host, the Spud Guy, is not here right now. Hopefully, he will be along in a bit. For now, I am joined by another co-host on this network, the one and only Will. How you doing?
Hey, Omega. What's up?
Hey, man. We just got done with Backlash. We got so many new champions. You saw the whole show, I assume.
I heard it.
You heard it?
Yeah, I'm technologically impaired over here.
Oh, fucking geez. Okay, we need to fix that up for you.
But yeah, oh. I heard it.
You heard it?
That counts for something, doesn't it?
It counts for hearing it, yes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go with that then. So Backlash just finished moments ago. Thanks to everyone who stayed and watched it and staying to listen to us for a while. We're going to have all the opinions. I believe the phones are going to be open tonight. They're usually open. Let's see. How about we just get started? We'll go from bottom to top, if that works for you.
That works perfectly.
All right, so we start. Okay, curtain jerker of the night was the ECW match, Jack Swagger versus Christian.
I am so happy.
Yeah, he's Christian. You know, Christian. We hear stories all the time about how dog he is by Vince McMahon. No, he really, really does not like him. So I'm glad someone was able to get the ECW belt on him for as little as that belt is worth. It is at least a nice little push for him. So I hope they do something with him after this.
Yeah, I've been a big Christian fan for years, so I was really disappointed when he showed up on ECW because he's better than that. I mean, I know they're trying to do something with the brand, but I mean, come on, he was at least SmackDown worthy. But I'm really glad to see that even if it's true that Vince hates, just can't stand or whatever it is he doesn't like about Christian, that he got over one of Vince's pet projects, Jack Swagger.
The All-American American is still the dumbest freaking ring name I've ever heard in my life. If the rumor pans out, Christian is just seen by Vince as very vanilla. So apparently Vince doesn't listen to the fans while he watches a match.
Yeah, he apparently just doesn't think Christian has what it takes to be over as a main eventer, which is absolutely absurd.
Well, no, no. He's got two championship reigns in TNA to prove that. Not all that Vince would ever watch. Not that Vince would ever watch TNA.
Yeah, he'll never get recognized for that on TV. No. I mean, if you just listen to the fans and the way they react to Christian, even when he's heel, he's over. Like, I was at a WWE house show once, and it was Shawn Michaels versus Christian. Only time I've seen Shawn Michaels live, he hurts his knee. But we're sitting pretty close to the ring, and there's an entire section in front of us during the entire match that was basically the Christian cage fan section, because the entire match they were going, Christian.
Well, he does have that X factor to him. I remember when he was a few months from being released from WWE or quitting his contract. I can never remember which one it was. He was getting over with everyone on Raw, just on pure ability, talent, and the ability to play his character off. And it was great to see. He's doing really good. He was supposed to be the bad guy, but the fans cheered him because they respected him and they enjoyed what he did. Then they said, hey, look, Christian's really getting over. He's doing very well right now. Let's put him on SmackDown and completely kill his heat, which is the real thought process that went behind it, which is pathetic. They buried him on SmackDown. Then, it's no wonder he opted out of his contract.
Yeah, it was really ridiculous because he was involved with the whole Cena Y2J thing, and he was just, even when he came out on it was in Canada, I think the week before he got drafted. I mean, yeah, he's going to get cheered in Canada, but I mean, he was still over in he was still over even before that, and I don't understand why Vince can't see that. He can go on the mic, he can go in the ring, he's got the look, he's got the attitude.
Well, let's face it, we know why Vince doesn't go for him, is that he's not 290 pounds of bulk muscle.
Yeah.
At Christian, he does look very, he looks average. He looks like the guy you see beside you at the gym.
Well, he looks about what Shawn Michaels does. I mean, Shawn Michaels was a guy who never, ever looked that buff or that ripped or anything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got the Shawn Michaels build, if not a little less, because, I mean, he's got some ridiculously skinny legs. But, I mean...
You're looking at his legs?
I don't know. It's just stuff I notice. Like, Randy Orton has childbearing hips.
It's okay. I can't watch Edge in the ring because he's got this one lump under his left pec that really bugs me.
It's like trying to watch Scott Steiner, but you're too mesmerized by how misshapen his biceps are.
God, spend the match counting veins.
It's how I get through every Batista match.
The irony here is that Christian, look how long ago that was when he was challenging Cena. That was just before he left. And he's still more over in the WWE than Cena is. I mean, we heard it tonight, when him and Edge were trading punches back and forth, the crowd was cheering more for Edge when he landed punches.
Yeah, Cena would benefit so much if they would turn him heel or something, because the moment they started shoving Cena down our throats is when everybody turned on him.
Well, they started betraying his original character. Instead of playing off of it, they just completely changed it up because of a movie he was doing. That movie is at the $3 bin at Walmart now, and he's still doing it.
Well, I mean, even before then, they start turning on Cena before his movie, because they just made him... They just took everything that made Cena worthwhile and just completely removed it for the PG-13 audience.
Yeah, that's what killed him. If he was still doing the rhymes and the raps, then he would probably still be over. Because that's what people like. It was different. It's unique, and everyone in the WWE now is mostly gimmicks and haircuts. That's pretty much the only difference between any of them at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Cena could actually wrestle, too, because he showed up, he debuted on SmackDown against Kurt Angle in one of the Invitationals, and he got over immediately. He could wrestle. He had a physique that was perfect for just throw him in there mid-carder. He could go, and then they let him go on the mic. It was perfect. He had everything. And then for some reason, Vince thought, all right, we're going to give him 5 moves. We're going to make him look generic, and we're going to take away everything that made him credible.
Right.
And
right.
It's going to be miraculous. It's going to make me money.
Okay, but we'll get to that match in a bit. Christian and Jack Swagger, okay, what do you think of the All-American American? I mean, is he doing anything for you? Does it look like his little pet project's working out?
I don't know. I mean, he's not terrible. I'll say that much. He's not terrible because Ricky Ortiz, that's a guy I hate. So,
here, have a towel.
Yeah. So when they had the Ortiz versus Swagger match, I was like, yeah, I think I'm going for Swagger. I mean, they pushed him too fast.
Yeah.
His nickname was terrible. That does not endear him to me at all. I do not think, oh, wow, All-American American, that's someone I want to get behind.
Well, even as a heel, it doesn't work. I mean, it's basically going off like the Kurt Angle model, you know, the elitist American character. And I don't think that works on someone who's still very green in the ring. I mean, he's got some talent in him, but I didn't think he was ready for a belt even as low as the ECW title.
No, not even.
I mean, they pretty much just slapped the belt on him because who else does ECW have? You've got one veteran in Finland. You've got one top face in Christian, and that's pretty much all you're building yourself around. So,
Got Morrison still.
No, I thought Morrison was drafted to one of the other brands. I think he's on SmackDown now.
Is he? I know he was drafted. That's right, he was. Oh,
yeah.
Right, yeah, because Miz ended up on Raw.
Right, the big falling out.
Yeah, because his big accomplishment, Swagger's, was what, winning the ECW title, being undefeated in 4 months?
Yeah, that is just moronic. I hate when they play up the big win-loss streak like it's such a big deal. I mean, anyone can be lucky for 4 months, I mean. It's not that special. I mean, you're brand new. Of course you're undefeated.
They've done it with everybody since the big Goldberg streak. Because what was Kozlov's? Oh, he's undefeated, even though he's been DQ'd and he's lost triple threats. Oh, Shawn Michaels beat him. He's still undefeated on SmackDown. Oh, never mind.
Well, even in WCW where that originated, that got over because he looks like he should be undefeated. He looked like a tank, and he was basically there just to obliterate people. And the second they tried to do anything else with him, no one wanted him anymore. I mean, no one wanted him in the WWE because he actually had to wrestle wrestling matches. He didn't just go in there, spear, jackhammer, pin, where's my damn check? They actually tried to make him wrestle a good match, and he can't wrestle a good match.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he can. Yeah, maybe he can't wrestle a good match, but I mean, he could still put on a show. It's just Goldberg also had one of the most sabotaged WWE runs I've ever seen.
Oh, no kidding. I think that was the whole point, though. I mean, you take the top guy, the original Austin ripoff, as it was called back then. I mean, you're Vince McMahon. You have an ego the size of Detroit. You have to kill what almost killed you. It's vindictive, but that's Vince. But that streak worked for Goldberg. I mean, he didn't win a title in the first 4 months. He won that U.S. Championship while he was undefeated. But, you know, he didn't jump straight to the top title he could win at the time.
Yeah, he actually earned what he got, because they didn't just, like, start, oh, he's 2-0, what an amazing athlete. He had actually won quite a few matches before they started going, oh, wow, this guy's kind of undefeated, isn't he?
Right, they built it up slowly, which is what you have to do on an undefeated streak. You can't just go, oh, he's 3-0, he's a prodigy, he's coming, he's going to be the next champion. It's moronic.
And Swagger, 4 months, gets a title. He's terrible on the mic. Christian, I know it was just for, you know, building heat, but the moment Christian came out, he put it out there, Swagger's got a terrible list.
Yeah, and here WWE wouldn't hire AJ Styles because of a slight southern accent. So let's push this guy to the moon with a lift.
Yeah, Swagger, he's got the look, but he's too green. I mean, like I said, he's not terrible. He pulls off that
it's a gut-wrench powerbomb.
Gut-wrench, that was the word. Gut-wrench powerbomb. He makes it work. But,
yeah.
I mean, they pushed him to the moon against Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
Poor Tommy.
Yeah, doesn't he have a storyline that's supposed to be going right now?
Yeah, if he doesn't win the ECW title, he's going to retire.
Yeah, does anyone remember that?
Vince doesn't.
Well, of course he doesn't, because it involves Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, but he should have... He was on ECW. That's where he should have started. But then they just... Vince has this thing about pushing who he likes to the moon, and it's worked out terribly every time for him. Lesnar. Yeah, he was over. Where'd he go? He left.
Well, see, that's what you get for pushing someone with a double-digit IQ.
And then Bobby Lashley did the same thing. Vince pushed him to the moon, and then Lashley left, failed in MMA, and where is he at now?
Yeah, but at least Lashley has the same thing as same thing as Jack Swagger. He's being held to ECW at least. That's the one.
Well, Lashley started out on SmackDown.
Oh, that's right. Did he win the SmackDown title?
He won the U.S. title.
Yeah, see, this is how much I pay attention to Bobby Lashley. I really could say shit.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
No.
He was Black Lesnar.
He's in TNA now, so good job, Vince.
Yeah, who? We're not prepubescent. 20 years old. I've just got a nasally voice.
Okay,
these guys speaking on marks. Whatever.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. It's a decent stage. They have the Edge and Christian moment at the end, which was kind of cool to finally see. That's the one thing I really do want to see that, because the original plan for Christian was he was supposed to come back and help Edge, which I think would have killed both of their careers, just to go right back to the Edge and Christian thing. This way they are opposites. They oppose each other very well right now, and I'm really looking forward to when they'll meet up, because spoiler, in case you didn't hear it or you're waiting for a replay or the end of the show, Edge is the new World Heavyweight Champion, so both of the fake brothers are champions now. And, you know, it's the same thing with Matt and Jeff. They are going to collide at some point.
Yeah, I was almost... I mean, I hate Cena, or at least what they've done to him. I respect him because the guy, he works. He has a ridiculous schedule. But I hate how they shove him down our throats. But as much as I dislike what they do with Cena, I was almost hoping he'd win just so Edge and this crazy... insane gimmick he's going back to would be like just so disheveled he'd be like, I'm gonna go win the ECW title. Just like flip his shit.
That'd be great. Someone went after the, you know, so yeah, some big star goes after the ECW title just because he's completely lost his mind.
It'd be beautiful. Only Edge could pull it off.
It's nice, it's pretty, it's silver, I want it.
I can see myself.
I was like, no, gold clashes with my eyes. No. Okay, match. Okay, so we got through that. Match number two of the night. Almost last minute, Chris Jericho defeats Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who still looks fantastic in the ring.
Yeah, I've got to say, when I saw Steamboat and everybody come out at Mania, I was like, oh, God, Chris Jericho, I know you're great, but look what you've gotten yourself into. Because you've seen Piper, you've seen Snuka, and then Steamboat stepped into the ring.
Steamboat, who can still work, was awesome.
I thought I was in 1988. Well, it was... I'm thoroughly and pleasantly surprised with how serious and how well Steamboat can still go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, at Mania, when he dived over the ropes... Are you kidding me? I don't expect anyone of that age to go off the top rope, let alone to jump onto the concrete.
Yeah. You know, second rope is pushing it for those guys.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, yeah, Chris Jericho, he went over. It's the way it should have been. But I mean, Chris Jericho, he's a young guy still. He could still go.
Right.
Just the way Steamboat can still perform, that's the highlight.
All right. You're hang on.
You know,
a second.
They did
you're
it right.
Well, hang on a second. We got a caller right now. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, Omega. This is DL Havoc.
Hey, Havoc.
Hey, just wanted to give my. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to give my opinion on Backlash. I like the ending. A little shocked about Randy Orton. I think you're going to see a feud with Triple H and Batista. But
surprised.
Well,
yeah,
I'm seeing
thrilled.
In the chat room. I'm seeing in the chat room there's a lot of guys saying CM Punk's going to cash that money in the bank. I have to disagree, because here's my thought. The announcers kept mentioning how Big Show interfered. And from what we've seen in past storylines, when someone gets over as a heel too long, what do they try to do with when they bring him in face? They'll make him have an extraordinary match. And you saw what Edge did. He kept getting up and getting up, and the fans were slowly turning, like cheering for Edge. Well, Big Show comes out and chokeslams Cena. If you listen to the announcers, they kept saying Big Show should be world champion. I think what you're going to see, you're going to start slowly seeing Edge turn face by saying, you know what, I'll prove you wrong. Judgment Day, he'll take on the Big Show. And you're going to slowly see and turn face because he's going to want the respect now. Does that make any sense?
Well, it might.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. I mean, I could see it happening because, you know, even though they've completely ignored the brand draft,
right?
You know, Cena or Edge and Big Show still have an unresolved feud, and I can kind of see Edge get in the face in that feud, but I mean, I don't think it'll stick.
But here's my thing with CM Punk. Remember, back almost a year ago already, Randy Orton cost CM Punk the world title. So I think there's going to be, because I'm pretty, most likely you're going to see a feud between Triple H and Batista, the way it's looking. Triple H is going to blame Batista, and it's going to go back and forth. And that's how I'm seeing this go down. I'm seeing CM Punk cashing in sometime on Randy Orton.
Yeah, with Punk, I was surprised they let him do Money in the Bank 2 years in a row. So they've obviously got plans for Punk, even though Vince seems to change his mind like every 5 minutes about him. And no matter where he cashes in, he's got a built-in feud with both Edge and Orton.
Right.
Because he cashed in on Edge last year. Edge got, what, one rematch, maybe? And then, of course, the big Unforgiven surprise when Orton punted Punk right out of the match.
Yeah, that was that title scramble.
Yeah.
The world title scramble.
God,
so,
I mean, hated that.
But, I mean, what you're seeing, you know, is WWE don't have any competition, so they're just going to keep these long, overdone feuds until TNA can step up and compete. This is how you're going to see the WWE, probably.
All right. Hang on a second. We got another caller. Welcome to WTR. Who is this?
Hello, this is Joe from San Bernardino.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to say I think MVP is the future of the WWE. I think the guy is super over with the fans. He's really good talent in the ring. He's super charismatic, and I think he should get a huge push.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that. MVP is doing really good for himself, and right now he got himself over really well.
Yes.
I miss his giant balloon entrance.
MVP can get over as long as they keep doing the whole the baller gimmick and, you know, keep him with the way he's looking. I mean, because right now he's slowly gaining enough steam to be a world champion.
Yeah, I don't think he's going
to... He could be as big as Austin or The Rock if you push him right.
Yeah. But, I mean,
yeah, it's just a shame. It's just a shame we don't see that Chuck E. Cheese bouncy room anymore.
I miss it.
I also think WWE's next competition is going to be from Ring of Honor, not TNA.
Well, Ring of Honor just got a TV deal, but it's not nearly as widespread as TNA's at the moment. So they've got a ways to go, especially right now because they're reorganizing everything. But
yeah,
it is a much stronger product. I will give it that.
It's going to be
Ring of Honor is really good.
Yeah.
It's going to be this generation's ECW.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that.
Yeah, especially
it's
now
just,
you've
it definitely fills the niche that it has really well.
It's going to be the underground sensation where they go, man, I'm so sick of these terrible storylines. I just want to see good wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, the problem with TNA, real quick, guys, the problem with TNA is they're trying too hard to compete with WWE. If you go back into the mid-80s when WCW got bought out, they slowly did their own things. They focused more on what they needed to do. And what you're seeing with TNA is they're trying to bring up, like Mick Foley bringing up things in the past. Why would you want to watch TNA if Mick Foley's putting over guys in WWE?
Yeah, well, yeah. TNA's big mistake right now is it still looks like WWE's unemployment line. I mean, pretty much everyone who gets pushed these days is a former WWE employee. You got, what, Scott Steiner, Jeff Jarrett, you've got Kevin Nash, and
Angle.
I mean, everyone
Lashley,
right now,
Foley.
Yeah, yeah, everyone who's doing anything right now used to be in WWE. Or it's like watching reruns. And
except Sting. Sting was in WWE, but he's way past his prime.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sting needs to hang the makeup up. I think it's a little bit late in the career for being in the ring and being a champion. But TNA could do something good right now because they could take advantage of, and really they have been, taking advantage of WWE's PG rating now. They deliver something that's much more grown up, I should say, and a little bit more toward the bloodthirsty UFC audience. It could work. I mean, they could have a they could have some decent competition.
Yeah, but I've got two words for TNA. Fire Russo.
Amen.
Well, maybe
you know, they did try to hire Russo.
Geez. Yeah,
like I hear he's got. Sorry.
You know, he's got about 10% control in the writing department. There are some guys you could blame a lot more in there.
Well, yeah, I hear that, but I mean, you could see Russo's influence the moment he started being involved.
Oh,
the moment he got involved after Bound for Glory, it was just, oh my God, it's WCW.
But all right, guys, I'm going to get off here. I'm going to listen up. Omega, have a good night.
All right, you too, man.
You guys have a good show. All right, man, thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, that was DL Havoc, another co-host here on the Wild Talk Radio Network across the field. Again with Spug, who still is not here. Okay, so just back to me and Will now. We covered TNA, so let's not mention it again.
Yeah, we're done. Get it out.
Right.
All right, where were we? Jericho Steamboat?
Jericho Steamboat. Unfortunately, I didn't catch as much of this match as I would have liked.
It, like I said, I only heard it, but I mean, it was like the one time through the entire night that the announcers actually called the match.
Imagine that.
Because you could hear it in JR and King's voices. They were just incredibly impressed with the fact that Steamboat was still doing what he could do. But, I mean, he's got a DVD coming out, too, or at least it's already out. So, I mean, at least it's one time where bringing back an old superstar who's getting a DVD didn't completely backfire on them because it was like watching molasses.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the fault of bringing things back way past their prime. Again, this is why you don't release a Sting DVD.
Yeah.
Still,
but,
yeah,
it's a decent
match. It keeps the storyline going anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know how much more it's got.
Yeah, they pretty much did everything they should have done with the match. Jericho goes over. Steamboat gets a big moment in the sun because he got a standing ovation afterwards.
Yeah, I think originally they didn't plan to do anything with Steamboat, so I'm glad they gave him one last match, but I do think it will be the last time.
Yeah, I think it's about time that they elevate Jericho to something else. Because, I mean, what else does he have to prove?
Well, he's going to SmackDown now, where he can easily be a top heel. And especially if they, oh, please, God, diminish Edge a little bit. I don't want the Edge show anymore. Put Jericho in the top heel spot.
He's, what, a 9-time champion now?
Oh, God, if they keep this gimmick up any longer, he's going to break Ric Flair's record before Triple H does.
Yeah, really. All right. So, I guess we agree on them at least doing that, right? Steamboat,
yeah.
Jericho.
Yeah, it was good of them to give Steamboat one more match, especially after he did so well at Mania. So, good on them. Like seeing him in the ring. And please, let's move Jericho on to something much bigger and better.
Yes, please.
All right, so that's two matches in. We got a lot more, but first, let's take a break. Let's get everyone refreshed and get a few commercials in. Paying the bills. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We will be right back.
The Wild Talk Radio Network brings you an in-depth look into the world of pro wrestling with Joe Bergitz, The Wrestling Report.
Oh my God!
Covering all of the latest WWE and TNA news, topical wrestling discussions, and more.
Know your role and shut your mouth!
Plus, you never know who may stop by and join in on the conversation.
Hey, this is former WWF wrestler, Rory McAllister.
Hey, this is Scott Hudson from WCW and the WWE.
It's Joe Bergitz, The Wrestling Report, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's all I got to say about that.
every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topics, and you lead the discussion.
Hadlett with Sharp shoots. What a stop by Kiprasov. Rebound. Oh, an even better save. They score. Justin Boyd cutting the lead to two.
Jump into the play as you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Us, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
Attention ATS soldiers, I want to remind you to check out across the field.
What is that? What the fuck is that?
Every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on WildTalkRadio.com. As Spoke.
What's your name, scumbag?
And DL.
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
Go across the field covering the world of professional sports and providing their unique spin on everything going on.
Are you about to call me an asshole?
So, ATF soldiers, remember, every Thursday night, we'll head to the battleground and go across the field. 6 p.m. Eastern on Wild Talk Radio.
I'll be watching you.
At ease.
Hey, this is former WWF wrestler Rory McAllister, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is Omega and Will. We are talking WWE Backlash. We are two matches in, and next up we have Kane and CM Punk. Did they even announce this match beforehand?
I think once, maybe.
Once, maybe.
I knew it was going to be on the card, but that's about it.
Yeah, because I can't remember a feud. I can't remember anything that led up to this match. I don't even. Yeah, I'm gonna go look. I'm gonna see if they even had this. I seriously want to see if they even announced this one because I had no idea this was going on.
Well, I mean, it was basically just your obligatory Kane is angry match.
Well, every match is a Kane is angry match.
Kane was angry. He needed to get rid of somebody. I mean, it was built out of the end of the Money in the Bank match where it looked like Kane was going to come up and upstage Punk, and then Punk kicked him in the head. But, I mean, that was it. It was just Kane's angry. Oh, God, CM Punk's dead.
Yeah, did they even bring up the Money in the Bank match?
No, I have no clue. I mean, like I said, I was listening to it, and it would just sound like something you'd see on Raw.
Well, you were listening to it. Did they mention the match?
No, not even once.
Oh, jeez.
That's what I'm saying. It was just like a match you'd see on Raw. It had no storyline point. There was no reason for it. If like Money in the Bank was on the line, yeah, I could see it, but
well,
it was just... Kane needs a paycheck.
God. Don't get me started on that. I hate that. I mean, if you can win the Money in the Bank match, if you can win that briefcase in a match after WrestleMania, then it is no longer a contract or a briefcase. It is a championship belt. So just make a freaking championship belt out of it. Don't, or slap that clause onto one of the existing belts. Don't just tell me, this can be switched over and over and over. You know, you had to beat seven people at WrestleMania in a ladder match to get this. This guy just has to pin you.
Yeah, they started that. They started it from Edge's first because they put it on the line like four times, and it's just like, you want a giant ladder match with a guaranteed shot.
Yeah.
What else do you have to do?
Right. Yeah, I remember RVD and Shelton Benjamin had a fight over it too. IC belt versus briefcase.
Money in the Bank. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't let me on that tirade. I'll go on all night.
All right, well, Kane won, and...
Yeah. Oh,
uh-oh.
That's a phone ringing.
It is a phone.
All right, we have someone on the line. Caller, welcome to WTR. Who is this?
Oh, this is Derek. I'm from Maine.
Hi, Derek.
Hello, Derek.
Yep. I just had a comment about the whole CM Punk thing and the Kane thing. They did mention that match. They have before, because I knew about it before today.
All right.
Yeah, like I said, I knew about it. It's just, it was like, why?
Yeah.
But there's one thing that I thought was interesting is the fact that, well, I'm not a big Punk fan, but the whole thing, they should have at least put that on the line with Kane. I thought Kane should have won it. I'm sorry, but I don't find it believable that he would knock Kane off the ladder and get that briefcase in the first place.
Yeah, that's a problem with putting a big monster in the Money in the Bank, is that you expect him to demolish everybody. So when they make him that beatable and that stoppable, I mean, when you've got eight people in that match and only two people are doing a spot at a time, you've got people laying around the ring for 4 or 5 minutes at a time doing absolutely nothing. And if it's Kane doing absolutely nothing, it's not believable.
Yeah, and they should have had Benjamin win it. That's my opinion, because he always steals the show in those matches anyway. I think he's a guy who needs to get a push and, for whatever reason, gets buried.
The reason he gets buried was shown at WrestleMania, because the biggest spot of the match he totally botched. And the inconsistent ring work of Shelton Benjamin is pretty much why he doesn't go any farther than he does.
Didn't someone say, I think it was someone on his network, said he's got like a 2-botch-per-match clause in his contract?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, and that thing I didn't know about, I knew what the plans were for the whole Edge-Cena match, but I was shocked about the whole ending with the Orton match. Did not expect to have both titles change tonight either.
Yeah, all three titles change. And, yeah, especially with the draft worked in, that makes things complicated now.
No, they've completely... I don't even see the point of the draft, because it works for about a month, and then everyone starts jumping shows again.
Right.
Yeah, and it's just... It's weird. I figured, well, since, Orton won that match on Raw, they were going to have... Creative was going to have him lose tonight, because... Well, I figured, Edge was going to win because Cena's elite. I think Cena's doing a movie and SmackDown didn't have a champion. But I just thought it'd be better if they had Triple H retain. I just didn't see now what they're going to do now with that whole angle with Orton having the title again.
Oh God! As long as they do Triple H and Kane better than they did last time, I don't want another Katie Vick.
Oh God.
I'm sorry to mention that god awful angle.
The funny thing is, every shoot interview that Kane or Triple H does, the first thing they ask him about is that whole storyline.
So, Trips, you got paid to hump a mannequin.
It was great, yeah. I screwed her brains out.
That sounds like a Vince Russo angle.
I have nightmares about that still. I can't even listen.
The next week, didn't they have it as Kane shoved shit up his ass and it was like a spot and they were pointing out of Triple H's ass, like they had that whole skit done?
I don't remember. I think I completely blacked out after that Katie Vick. I just completely ignored the rest of that feud.
Yeah, I think any good WWE fan has probably blocked that from their memory at this point. I don't think anyone wants to even remember that angle existed.
I still do, just because the fact that it was so funny. Like, my friends now be talking about old matches, and that always seems to come up.
I was actually watching that episode of Raw in my living room when it happened. And, what, I'm 20. This was, what, 2002, 2003? That was six years ago. So I'm like 14 years old watching Triple H screw a mannequin in my living room. And my mom is like, what the? Like,
the
God.
Horn music.
I've never felt so ashamed to be watching wrestling.
Another thing I thought I would bring up is they put Kennedy back on Raw. I'm really surprised it hasn't been released because he's pretty much injury prone at this point, but I've been a fan of him. I'm just wondering, what are they going to do with him on Raw?
His whole run has depressed me because, you're right, I love the guy. He made the dumbest gimmick in the history of the last 10 years work. Well, not the dumbest, but I mean, you know, saying your name twice, ooh, he got it over. He did the impossible. He can work. He just...
hasn't worked for Jack Swagger.
He's... How do you say Batista light?
Yeah.
He gets going and then, oh, there goes my quad. Oh, there goes my bicep. Well, for a while...
Yeah, but for my thing, I think Batista just flat out sucks. But that's another story.
Well, I will give it this. They do know they got something really big with Kennedy, and I think they're trying to do the same thing they did with Orton. Oh, sorry, because Orton early in his career was very injury prone too. I mean, he's
behavioral prone too.
Shitting in a diva's handbag. that was a little far, but yeah, I think they're just trying to write it out with Kennedy, see how much farther they could go. Because even if he injures himself again, I still want to see him around doing something. You know, be a GM, be a manager. Because he does have that it factor, you know, that The Rock had or that Austin had. He could be huge if he could stay healthy.
Yeah, he would have been huge because, you know, I laughed about it when he won Money in the Bank at 23. You know, I laughed because, you know, they had the whole storyline. Oh, he's going to hold it till next year. And then I'm like, watch, he's going to get hurt. And the next thing you know, Edge has got the briefcase again.
Yeah, I think that's why they haven't really pushed him very strongly since then, because they wanted to make him the son of Vince McMahon, and then all of a sudden, oh, he's injured again.
Yeah, well, I heard he was actually a drug test he failed. That's why they botched that. That was like one of the things that they said possibly could have been he failed one of those wellness tests that they did, those random screenings.
Right.
Well, it's such a damn shame. What doesn't help is he actually got into it. He's pretty old. He's like 35. So
he got in at an older age.
He's really got to overcome. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe he's doing some terrible cardio or something. But he needs to get over it because this is his. I think his next injury is gonna be his last. They're just gonna be like, you know what, we're done. You know.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, he's going to be Kamikaze Ken again on TNA.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Can't wait for that.
Big feudably against Suicide.
Oh, God. Yeah, you know Christopher Daniels was Suicide in that first match at Lockdown last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Kaz went and got injured.
Oh boy, I heard you guys talking about the TNA thing before. Like, I called and I was like, I'm a TNA fan, but I totally agree about the whole thing. It's WWE's unemployment line.
Oh, look who got a Futured Endeavored. We'll see him next week on TNA.
Yeah, they just it is like WWE. They push all the old guys. If they pushed all the guys that are originals there, like if they pushed AJ, I mean, if he was champion again, my God, I'm sure the ratings would at least go up just a little bit, but they need to push those original guys better.
Well, they killed Joe. She's
oh
like,
my God, that kid, oh, he just pisses me off now. I used to like him, but this gimmick sucks.
It's like you used to see. Oh, sorry.
Here, I'm sorry to do this. We got other people trying to call in. Thank you very much for calling us. Call in anytime. We are live every Sunday night. We'd love to have you again.
I will be.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Peace.
Later.
God, Joe pisses me off so much now. But yeah, Kane, he beat Punk. I guess
yeah,
that's special.
Yeah, well, anytime Kane wins on pay-per-view, I think it's cause to celebrate.
Okay, yeah.
We got someone else joining us. Caller, whoever the fuck you are, just say your name and get on with it.
Caller! Caller! Stab you all! This is my fucking show!
Well, I'm doing pretty damn well without you. Welcome, Spug Guy.
I hate Randy Orton.
We're not even that close yet.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I don't care. I hate Orton.
I hate Randy Orton because you hurt my husband. I will strike with vengeance down upon you like an angry black woman.
Oh, good God.
Oh, when the show takes a downturn in the quality.
Oh, or no.
At least in the decency.
Mm-mm, no, no. You don't hurt my Triple H.
It's Triple H. Good God.
My Triple H. My.
I think,
we all know
I think
you want
Stephanie
to
and his, yeah, I think Stephanie and his two children have something to say about that.
She's just keeping the bed warm for me, goddammit.
So you marked whenever she got her ass kicked by Orton.
Oh yeah. Oh, hell yeah, I marked out. Are you kidding me?
Yes! Break her neck!
Kill her! Kill her!
No, don't kiss her. DDT her again.
Indeed.
Yes! Pop her left tit.
Boot to the head.
Boot to the head.
I've had that in my head ever since the Triple H match. But we will get to that.
Anyway.
We're only up to the fourth match.
Right. I believe that was my piss break match of the night. I'm not sure.
Hardy versus Hardy.
Oh, no, that wasn't my piss break match.
Yeah, Hardy won, by the way.
Yeah. I knew going into the match that they had no choice but to put Hardy over.
Oh, yeah. Hardy was going in very strong. He had a lot of heat behind him. And Hardy right now just isn't impressing me.
Did you happen to see the sign at ringside that said, "Let Hardy win"?
I think I missed that.
Since we're obviously paying attention.
Yeah, there was a sign at ringside that said, "Let Hardy win." And I went, "Which Hardy?"
Yeah. You needed someone that he was with beside him with two signs, Matt and Jeff. Just whoever was winning at the time. Hold up the right sign.
Yeah.
Right.
That's about the only fun we're getting out of Hardy versus Hardy is we can just go, "Yeah, Hardy."
Indeed.
But on the bright side, at least they've been like bringing back the old hardcore matches that made them worthwhile back in the day.
Well, yeah,
that made you go.
It's a Hardy match. You would be disappointed if it wasn't a spot fest.
Yeah,
I had to laugh at the tying Jeff down to the table. Or Matt down to the table.
Oh my God. The finish rocked. I love that.
Yeah, I heard, "Does he have duct tape?" And I went, "Wait, what?"
They pulled out the duct tape and the rope, and I looked at my wife and a friend who was watching the pay-per-view with us, and I went, "This reminds me of a bad San Francisco BDSM porno."
Yeah. WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2010. Bondage is a legal weapon.
Oh. I mean, I looked at that and went, "What are you doing?"
Well, it made sense
it was creative.
When it made sense when he brought out the ladder, because that was the problem last time. Last time Jeff tried to bomb him from the top of a ladder, he rolled out of the way and ended up losing the match over it.
Right.
So yeah. Keep his ass down on the table this time.
You are not going anywhere.
Well, you just think of it. Think of it. How many times have you seen them try to do one of those big table spots? And, you know, he takes like 2 minutes to set something up and then goes over, he'll punch you in the head a couple more times. Then he goes to do something else. And just, why don't you roll off? You've been rolling around the whole match.
You, sir, are staying put.
Right. Like, what, you know, what kind of magical punch is he throwing at him to keep him on that table for 4 minutes that he couldn't have thrown at the beginning of the match to keep him down for 3 seconds?
It's like what they did at Mania. He was setting up this huge table spot, and it's like, why can't he just move?
Right.
That table spot didn't even make sense. All right, I'm going to put you on a table, put a chair on top of you. I'm going to put a table on top of you.
Yeah, the table, okay, stacking tables is awesome, but for starters, I've never seen someone put a table on top of a table just to drive the other table into somebody. And number two, that is a dangerous as hell spot, because if that table breaks the wrong way, you've got one shoved through your liver.
I thought it looked
impressive, but damn.
No one did.
I'm amazed Matt didn't need surgery after it.
Well, Jeff, he almost went head first into the ground after he hit the first table.
Right.
But that whole spot tonight, you know, it wasn't even that. I mean, he tied him down to the table. He duct taped his wrists and ankles. This is sounding like a horrible fan fiction.
Welcome back to Katie Vick. Yeah.
We just talked about it. We had the same reaction.
Yeah.
You see, it is universal, people.
No
one enjoyed it. Vince was the only guy in the universe going, yes!
Well, Vince is the one that wanted the incest angles, and even when it was shot down, he tried it again.
Yeah.
But this spot tonight, I mean, it was great just for how pathetic it made Matt look after all this, just begging and pleading for Jeff not to, you know, swanton off the ladder.
Well, you're tied to a table, and your insane brother is like 20 feet above you, and we've seen what he can do.
Oh, dude, 20? Come on, that's more like 12. Really?
Well, I figured it was the big ladder. Like I said, I only got to listen to it tonight because I'm technologically impaired.
Well, here's what happened. Matt's laying there. The ref's got a mic in his hand for the I Quit, so he's begging on the mic this whole time. You know, your mother in heaven wouldn't like this. Our dad's sick at home. Come on, the Hardy Boys, we do it all again. It's just, it was so, I laughed my ass off hearing it. And it's a different finish. I Quit matches usually end either when you've beaten someone to a pulp and they can't take the pain anymore, or when you've had them in a submission hold for the last 5 minutes.
You're WCW, the guy who's winning the whole match just for no reason goes, oh, I quit.
Right. But it was a different finish because it scared Matt into quitting, which I thought was a brilliant little way of doing it. And even better when Jeff pretended to
get down, and then he hopped the ladder.
And his leg dropped him anyway. It was after the bell already rang. He already won. I'm going to put you through the table anyway. I fucking love that one.
I think it still showed that wrestling, when you book it right, still has that magic where you're just like, this is beautiful.
Because,
like you said, it was different. It was original. And you're just sitting there going, why haven't they done this before?
Well, like, you look at it. Like, tonight's pay-per-view, I can tell you I honestly fell asleep during the one of the two main events because I was bored. You don't need a I Quit match and a
Last Man Standing.
And a Last Man Standing match in the same pay-per-view.
They did that last year at East, or excuse me, One Night Stand.
They did. And both of them were, I mean, I'm not a big fan of that kind of stuff.
They use it so rarely these days. I don't mind it, and I do like the different aspect it brings in, but to do it both in two nights, that's a little much.
That goes into
TNA territory.
Yeah, well, I do love a good I Quit match. So I'm like, all right, I quit.
Okay, so this just shows you just how much we thought of the match, because we've been talking just about the finish.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I loved the match. I really did like that match.
Yeah, the match itself was good.
It was Jeff and Matt doing what they've been able to do for years, and it's like, why did it take this long for these two to get over? Well, Jeff, you know, we know why it took him so long.
You failed another test, Jeff.
But Matt, it was like, this. Why won't you push him?
Oh, Matt! Matt lacks certain qualities.
Yeah, but he's upper mid card at least.
Yeah, Matt, I think, is the more solid worker, but he doesn't have as much of the it factor as Jeff does. He just doesn't. He doesn't have as much natural ability to draw the crowd in.
It's why they worked as a tag team, because Matt could do the solid work, and Jeff was the charisma. Yeah.
And the other thing was, with them, when they were a tag team, is that Jeff did a lot of things that not many other people were willing to do. And I think I'm kind of reiterating what you were saying, but if you notice, the spots that Jeff did, like the 20-foot drop at WrestleMania 17?
Well, I don't know. It's been a lot of WrestleManias. 17, yeah. 16,
no, 23. No. The TLC match at WrestleMania, I believe it was 17.
Yeah.
That he took the spear from the top while hanging onto the belts.
Oh, man.
I mean, Jeff did so many crazy things that I think when the tag team was popular, people were more, I think people have always been more into Jeff than they have been into Matt. And Matt lacks that ability, that charisma that Jeff possesses.
Right.
Well, you also gotta remember that in the long run, Matt will be wrestling long after Jeff, probably, because
right. <Yeah.
That's laughs> Jeff's gonna kill himself.
You like, see, I don't know about that.
I think it showed perfectly. It just, at 23, when they were teaming up in Money in the Bank, and they killed Edge. I think that was like the perfect. It just, I can't get it out. It was like, that's what they were as a team. You had Matt set it up. Jeff would kill the guy, and Matt would look at him like, oh my God, did we just kill somebody? Jeff comes off that 20-foot ladder from out of the ring, puts Edge through a ladder. And it's just like, what did I just see?
Right. Like, the other big one with Jeff and Matt, and Omega said this at WrestleMania, even leading up to WrestleMania, the last time that those two had a feud like this, they didn't finish it properly. And while I don't think this is far from over at all, it is, it's certainly on its way to being probably one of the best storylines of the year.
Well, I'll say this. That's the only unfortunate thing about the finish, because it did take away a lot of the impact as a heel that Matt has had, to start whimpering and cowering like that. But right,
right now, Jeff is right in the middle of contract negotiations, and depending on how that goes is how we are going to see this playoff.
Well, that's what they.
Yeah, if he signs a new contract, then this is going to keep going. But they're going to draw it out as long as they can for that.
Well, that's what they were saying about why he had lost basically every match they had since WrestleMania, wasn't it? Because he was refusing to sign a new contract.
Right. Yeah.
He'll sign. He'll re-sign.
Oh yeah. Well,
I heard he wants like a bit more time off.
Every wrestler wants a bit more time off. I mean,
yeah, that's true. But I mean, it's hard to get that much more time off when you're also one of the top acts in the company,
right? Yeah.
So I mean,
that's what happened to Batista last time he was injured. Yeah, you know, he really needed to rehab it, but they go, well, you're a top guy, and we really need you right now. Can you go a few more months? And that's how he ended up getting hurt even worse.
Right.
But you talk about. Oh, God. Did you have to remind me about the last time Matt and Jeff feuded? Really, did you have to?
Yeah, why?
Because I'm still trying to get that out of my head. I don't even remember being on pay-per-view.
I don't think it was.
It's like a match on Raw without a single high spot.
Actually, truth be told, I hadn't even remembered they'd feuded. I just remember they split up in the brands.
It was on the pay-per-view.
No, it was a Raw quality match. Maybe that's why I remember it that way. It was not good. And it's really not what you'd expect.
Well, this was brought up before. Wasn't it because one of them was injured or something?
I want to say that, but I really can't remember.
It wasn't Hardy quality. That's
yeah, I might just be making an excuse because I do still like the Hardys.
Who doesn't?
I'm not like a 300-pound woman sitting ringside at TNA with face paint on or anything.
You're not.
I love you.
You're not part of.
He was there for like 6 months after he left.
You're not part of the Stinky family.
not a Stinky. Listen. Oh, those were the days. Anyway,
those were the days.
Should we move on?
We should.
Yeah, because I'm tired of talking about Hardy. Hardy versus Hardy. Hardy won.
Fair enough.
Next was the match of the night: Great Khali versus Santina.
Oh my god. I died laughing. I did. I died laughing.
I really thought this was like a no-win situation for Santino. I really thought this was done. I thought this was the end. And my god, it only gets funnier. I'm sorry to say that, because as lowbrow as it is, it gets better.
The JR bit was... come on. You have to admit, that was funny.
Yeah, that was.
Doesn't that happen to him, like, once a year, though?
I think, like, once a year he gets put in a really weird storyline.
Yeah. He gets a weird, awkward situation, and he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm married.
Yeah, it kind of started with the whole fake razor, fake diesel. Time. It seems like ever since then, they got to humiliate JR once a year.
Yeah, he gets ribbed once a year in front of live TV, or live audience.
Right. His head's in Vince's ass, or he's having...
No, let's not go there. Oh, God.
But, this proves just how... Okay, I know it's funnier this way, but Santino is a moron. Because if I was in that situation, you know, not that I would be in front of 20,000 live people and a few million on pay-per-view and drag.
Hey, Harvey Whippleman can do it.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it for 40 bucks a viewer.
Especially when everyone's. Never mind. I'm not going there.
He does have a point. Harvey Whippleman can do it.
Yeah. No. $50 minimum. I'm a premium attention whore. But he could have saved himself so much trouble if he just said, "Hey, guess what? I'm a lesbian."
I thought that's what they were going to do with it. I sincerely thought that. And then when he's like, "I'm in love with JR," I went, "What?" And tell me, did anybody else notice the theme music?
Yeah. Oh, God.
I was like, what?
Billy
Rico returned?
Billy and Chuck. You are so good to me.
See, I'm thrilled that they didn't. This angle would have been too much for me if they had actually made new music just for that angle.
Yeah.
That would have been drawing a little too far. It is funnier that they are using the old gay theme music.
I think, have you noticed that the one person that he continually beats is Beth Phoenix?
Yeah.
Like, they built her up to be this awesome, you know, attractive China, per se. And now she's nothing.
Well, she also got paired with the greatest comedy hill we've had in about a decade.
True.
Yeah. But, you know, it has to work out this way because, especially now, it seems like she's got the bigger balls in the relationship.
Well, I'm just happy if they give Santino 5 minutes of mic time a night.
Dude, he's probably the best comedy heel. I think he's better than The Rock.
Well, The Rock was a heel who was funny, but you could take serious. Santino is just... He wins all his matches by accident. He's perfect. I love him.
Yeah, see, they've got a great comedy thing going with him, but it's more or less to protect his ring work because he does not wrestle very often.
When they got rid of the Honk-O-Meter, I cried. I ate a bucket of Haagen-Dazs.
You sat on your couch and weeped and ate Haagen-Dazs for a week?
I was inconsolable.
Oh, God.
The Honk-O-Meter was the best thing I had ever seen. I tuned in Raw just for the Honk-O-Meter.
The best part of that was Beth Phoenix always standing beside him, taking this totally seriously.
Yeah.
She's just standing there, women's title, smiling the whole time, like, yeah, this isn't ridiculous in the least.
I, Santino Marella, have been Intercontinental Champion for 7.35 weeks.
You know, Ustreamer 44925 in the chat room, it just like is totally bagging on Santino, and I don't think they understand what is so great about him.
He's a gem among a sea of complete ass.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. You could saddle anyone with that gimmick, but he is the perfect person to do it. That's the old saying that it's not the gimmick that gets the wrestler over, it's the wrestler that gets the gimmick over, and he made that so over.
Yeah, because could you imagine
he's just that good at it?
It's really about who you stick the gimmick with. It's like how The Undertaker has made that gimmick work for so many years. You know,
right.
A lot of other people would have just bombed completely, but then they gave it to Callaway, and he's made it work for so long.
Yeah, and even today, when WWE is supposed to be all about these more realistic characters and more down to earth, we don't have these really.
All right, Ustreamer, nobody's disagreeing with that. I love Ric Flair. I love Mr. Perfect, Bruno Sammartino, Bret Hart. All great wrestlers. All great wrestlers. Ric Flair was a great heel. Mr. Perfect was a great heel. Okay. See, Santino is great in his own right for the simple fact that we have not had somebody who has had the ability to play the comedic heel since the days of the original DX in the early 90s.
Yeah, and I agree with that. There's a difference here, because you've got heels that can be funny. You know, like when...
Miz and Morrison.
Edge and Christian. Even a little bit further back, in between the DX and the Santino.
Right.
They were funny, but...
Not completely inept.
It was a scripted funny.
Right.
It was things that you could laugh at no matter who was doing it.
And the thing with Santino is, I don't think that he reads bulletin point from bulletin point. Or, I mean, word for word. I think he bulletin points his stuff.
Oh, no. I mean, when he was out there right now and, you know, Beth was going, well, you think that is pretty? And he's over there going, I'm pretty. And Rock is not going to clip me saying, I'm pretty.
What's the term you use for it? Functional retard?
Functional retardation.
No. There's a difference here, and we'll have to discuss that, because that's not a label you stick on anybody. Santino's just a dumbass.
Yeah, but, I mean, it comes from just how inept he is.
Right, well, that's...
He is very inept.
Yeah. That's the whole idea. That's what makes a heel character great, is just that he just stumbles into all this.
The other thing with it, with Santino, and I think, you know, this is probably the last little round of discussion before we move on, is Santino, when he gets into the ring or he does something, everybody stops to see what he's going to do. You have some heels in the company now that when they come on the screen or stop talking, people walk away, or they go take a piss break, whatever. But when Santino comes out, everybody's like, what in the fuck is he going to say or do now? And they have to listen.
It's true. You hear that music and you're like, oh God, I've got to pee so bad, but I can't miss this.
Exactly. Exactly. And Omega knows exactly what I'm talking about. He'll even admit to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, what about the other half of this bit, though?
Kali?
Yeah.
Beth. Oh, God.
Clubbing Beth in the head.
Chop.
I still don't understand what that was all about.
Well, apparently he understood when he was insulting her. Or when she was insulting him.
I swore
to God, she was going to say, you are the biggest homosexual on the face of the earth.
No, I could have sworn he was going to, you are the biggest idiot on this earth. Next to him over there.
The bit that was funny was showing JR's reaction.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When the camera would pan over to JR, and it was like watching a bunch of guys at a comedy roast, and you know, people throwing out insults, and both Michael Cole and King are like, oh man, can you believe that? I'm like, poor JR.
The end of it made it, though, when Kali swiped the bra.
Oh, God.
when he waved his nose, like, oh, that stinks, that was funny, too.
Just Santino bolting with his hands over his tits.
I don't think I've ever heard such a womanly scream from a man.
played it up perfectly. Oh, I love how Sash kept falling. He'd start grabbing it and go, oh, no!
It's such a terrible story, but it works because of who was doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that is just a retarded angle, no matter who else is doing it. Like, we've got Charlie Haas, who's supposed to be the comedic face of WWE.
No, it only works when Stevie Richards is doing the parodies.
Right, but you've got him doing this, you got Santino doing it instead, and it works. Just because Santino's so fucking good at doing it.
So I'm guessing MVP of the night here is going to go to Santino.
Santino.
Oh, he made it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I usually don't support those comedy bits in the middle of a pay-per-view. They could have fit a match in there. But you know what?
Well, they did. They did technically.
Awesome. Well, yeah, technically they did. It's a 3-second match. But it worked. I mean, these I don't mind seeing.
It did. It worked. It worked well.
It was a good... It was something good to put between the I Quit match and what was to come.
Right.
Yeah, it was a good cooldown.
Right.
But gentlemen, that leads us in. We've got two matches to go. We've got both world title matches. And
oh,
we also have a
boy.
Break coming up. Yeah, we're going to cool ourselves down a little bit before the big championship matches.
All right.
Hey, you were late. This is my role right now.
You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Attention Wild Talk Radio Network fans, are you looking for a show that is wholesome, a show that is family-oriented and kids-friendly, and a show that is filled with politically correct humor? Then tune in to the WTR Network every Saturday night at midnight Eastern for all things G-rated.
Hold on. Fuck that politically correct bullshit. Tune in Saturday nights for No Limits Extreme Conversation, covering everything from, well, just about anything you can possibly imagine. If you can think it, it will be talked about and more live Saturday nights on Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live midnight Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. is at the topics, and you lead the discussion.
And from Bobley, gets the line, stands at the center, and scores!
Hadlett, Hadlett with sharp shoots, what a stop by Kiprasov, rebound, oh! An even better stop, and they score! Dustin Boyd, cutting the lead to two!
Jump into the play and you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am Omega. We are joined by Will and Spug, who was late.
Dude, you always know. I go,
yes,
what?
But, so I know what material to use against you.
You can't tell me, you know, oh, you were late. Dude, you know I go watch pay-per-view at somebody's house and I have to drive a half hour.
Yes,
who do you
I'm
think
aware.
You are, a host of CB Radio?
Jesus.
Yeah, cigarette butts and bandanas live here every midnight Saturdays. Wild
ish. Midnight ish.
Midnight ish.
Ish.
You have to remember to put the ish on the end of it, or else it's not a proper time.
Right. I wouldn't want to mislead anybody.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't want to make people think that they were actually on time for their
yeah.
show.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
no.
What's wrong with you? Or at least midnight-ish. Maybe midnight and a half.
Midnight and a half.
Midnight and a half.
I like the midnight and a half. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. It's a favorite.
Yeah, it's
all right, so...
Yeah, about 11 minutes after 12.
11 minutes.
Championship match.
Yes,
Batista
oh boy.
And Shane McMahon versus Legacy, Orton, Rhodes, and DiBiase.
I want to point out before we even get started in this match is how much I hate some commentators. I'm not going to say any names, King, but you may recall that this match, in a form sort of like this, happened about 9 years ago at a certain event called King of the Ring. Triple H, Vince and Shane McMahon versus The Rock, Undertaker and Kane. Same stipulations.
Whoever pinned gets the win, gets the belt.
Yeah, whoever pinned got the win, because it was the match where Shane went from the top of a turnbuckle through the bottom of the Spanish announce table via a chokeslam.
Oh.
And... The beginning of this match made me mad because I love a good color commentator. I love Joey Styles. I love Matt Striker. Love JBL. I love a commentator who knows their history. So I got kind of pissed off when King goes, "Oh, wow, I don't think we've ever seen this match before." He called this goddamn match 9 years ago, and all of a sudden, oh, wow, this is such an original concept. We have never done this before.
King, you dolt.
Jeez. Well, I guess it's not just JR that's going senile.
Yeah, well, that's my pet peeve. Just completely
No, if you want a pet peeve with this match, you talk about the blown spot of the night. And it wasn't by a wrestler. It was by the fucking timekeeper.
Oh. That one's going to go down in history.
Someone explain, because I probably didn't see it.
Okay. The finish of the match, Orton hits the RKO, goes to pin Triple H. One, two, Triple H kicks out, but the bell is ringing. And Orton doesn't even... which is the boot that finished the match. He didn't even acknowledge it. Hey, did I just win? What happened? No. They just... He completely disregarded it.
Nice.
It was great. You hear, one, two, no, ding, 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 ding. He kicked out. He kicked out.
Yeah, does TNA hire the fired ring announcers from WWE?
They might. They might
have to, because I'm sure one's going to be unemployed tomorrow.
They've been hiring the referees.
Yeah, all that is true. They hired the announcer from WCW.
Hired Earl Hebner.
Uh-huh.
It really is the unemployment line for WWE.
Yeah, and that is the unfortunate thing. But I'm not talking any more TNA tonight.
Right.
I'm done.
We're not talking TNA.
No, we're talking WWE Championship match.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Now,
and your boyfriend got a concussion.
Yeah, my husband got a concussion. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? And it's not just because of the outcome, but am I the only one who would have rather seen this match break down into total chaos?
I would have loved it.
Because they talked about... I mean, that was what this match was built on, is how are Batista, Triple H, and Shane going to coexist and function as a tag team when they all have their reasons why they want to beat up on Randy Orton and pin Randy Orton and be the one who gets the victory.
Yeah, not to mention, you even Legacy, you know, they're the three egotistical heels. You got to think that at one point they are going to think, hey, if I pin him, I'm going to be the champion. I can just run off with the belt.
Right. And the two teams, well, for the most part, Triple H and Shane and Batista functioned as a tag team, as a viable, well-oiled tag team. And there were really no hiccups. And I'm going... You're totally, you know, just spitting in the face of all the writing that you just did and all the promotion work you just did for this match.
Right.
Because the whole thing going into it was, oh, we're Legacy. We're a real tag team.
Mm-hmm.
First thing Orton does is hightail it out of there.
Oh, boy. I will give him this. I will give him this. I'm glad that that faction is so unified that they would give the win to Orton. You know, if any one of them could blind
wait,
tag.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Ustreamer 44925. You've got it all wrong. I hate TNA. Ask anybody who has anything to do with this show.
Oh, God. Yeah, we can't get him to shut the fuck up about it.
I hate TNA. So to call me a TNA nut hunger dude, I'm going to stab you in the mouth.
He even used the word nut hugger.
Nut hugger. Now, to be fair, yeah. The views and opinions of one certain co-host here do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Wild Talk Radio Network. We do have Nick, who is also another co-host here on Wrestle Talk Radio, who every other Sunday does the TNA portion of the broadcast. And if you are a TNA fan, you'll be able to tune in Sunday and hear that, as well as anything from the independent scene.
All three of you.
Oh, shut up.
Man's got a point.
Okay, can we not mention TNA anymore?
Sure.
So
this is WWE night.
So the big concussion, work or legit?
Well, of course it's a work, but at least it's a well done one. I mean, he finally punted everyone in the family.
I just like to throw it out there because you never know anymore. What? Well, Matt Hardy got fired because Edge and Lita are screwing? I don't know the difference anymore.
Oh, the other... Here's something else that kind of bugged me about it, about the match in general. Why didn't you have Shane do a heel turn?
I think at this point, because first the big heel turn was expected at Mania. Didn't happen. They got the big McMahon feel-good moment where Triple H righted wrongs. He finally won his first Mania match in like nearly a decade, actually. He's pretty much lost every WrestleMania for a while.
Sure, but this is what I'm talking about. I mean, legacy is built on the fact that it's nothing but a bunch of second-generation superstars. Who better to have in your corner than the son of the boss?
Well, I think in this instance, I wouldn't have even wanted to see the turn. Because it's like, Orton went through the entire McMahon family, except for Linda. Because she can't sell worth a damn.
Awesome.
He went... He kicked the hell out of McMahon. Kicked the hell out of Shane. DDT'd Steph. You know,
sure, but what has the McMahon's approach always been? If you can't beat him, join
him. Or buy him out.
Or buy him out.
Or buy him.
So...
Well, I'm just glad they didn't do the heel turn for one of them. I mean, that's just me. Again, you know, but...
I think at this point, if you're going to stick Shane in a match, you have to heel turn him, at least to make sense of it, because I'm sick of him being put over some of these wrestlers like he's such a badass fighter, you know, dropping them with punches that looks like a, you know, kindergartner would throw. And, I mean, even in this match, I mean, he's wailing on, you know, legacy with these limp-wristed flaps.
Were they San Francisco slaps?
They might as well have been. I mean, they were just as messy.
Oh, boo.
I'm serious. I mean, he, unless he has something 20 feet to jump off of, Shane doesn't belong in a match.
That's great because that's the universal view of Shane. I want to just see Shane jump off something.
Well, it's pretty much correct. I mean, as you want to talk about Hardy Boys being spot monkeys, at least they can wrestle a solid match without going up to a top rope every now and then. Shane is known for being thrown through big glass panels on the stage and taking these bumps that no one else would take and diving off the Titantron and all this really crazy shit that shouldn't be done.
It's true, because I just mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, hey, Shane went through a table from the top turnbuckle.
But that's what Shane's good at. Shane is good at taking spots. He is not good at wrestling a normal match.
No. I don't know. It's just, it was like a month too late. And it was just...
No, because I think... I really do think you could have effectively done a heel turn tonight. You could have. They did, but you could have.
Well, at this point, yeah. I mean, McMahon's, they turn on the flip of a coin.
Exactly.
And at least it does have its roots. I mean, like I said, I wouldn't want to see it, but it does have its roots with the whole Steph and Shane thing when Steph was like, I'm in charge of Raw. And Shane was like, really? You want to do this now?
Right.
So, I mean, it's in there, and he'd be a great manager for Legacy, at least. Because Rhodes and DiBiase need something.
Well, he would almost be the Bischoff of that group. Like when Bischoff was in NWO and he still had authority and could get things that wouldn't normally be obtained. That would be why Orton hasn't been. You know, that would be a perfect reason for why Orton hasn't been fired for, you know, giving a concussion to everyone who runs WWE at this point.
And the other thing is, you would figure the moment he laid a hand on Vince, he would have gotten his pink slip, because that was the storyline with Austin years ago, was every time, you know, Vince was right there getting ready to fire Austin, and he couldn't because the fans loved him so much. But Orton's a heel, and last I checked, a lot of people hate him. I mean, not even in a heel sense. A lot of people just don't like him.
It's weird you say that, because it seems mostly to be on the internet, because every time Orton's theme hits, they cheer. I think they cheered tonight when he got the pin after he punted Triple H in the head. And then they're carrying Triple H off, and the fans are going, nah, 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 nah.
Which is, that to me is a bit ridiculous, honestly.
I don't know. The crowd tonight was just weird all around. I mean,
it's Boston, dude. They're a bunch of assholes. I mean, they're worse than Philly fans.
It's like they were in Canada. Everything's backwards.
They were in Rhode Island tonight, boys.
Or Rhode Island, whatever.
I said it was like. I said like.
I had a buddy who went to that show. He lives in Boston. So, I mean, it's all the same general area. They all love Red Sox, clam chowder, and the New England Patriots.
It's the only sports team in the whole area. All right, but it was a decent match. I'm not happy with the title switching hands so many times lately.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna bring that up after we get into Edge Cena.
Well, I think it cheapens the title.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you can't hang on to them, it cheapens the wrestler too. If you can't hang on to them for longer than a month, what kind of champion are you?
Right.
Well, the WWE title has switched more or less every pay-per-view since Survivor Series, except for Mania.
Right. You know, because the whole problem is if you win the belt and then lose it the first opportunity that it's on the line, then your title win essentially amounted to getting lucky.
Right,
I mean, anyone can have a lucky night. Stevie Richards could win the title on a lucky night.
I wish that would have happened back when they did the Survivor Series GM thing. All right, Triple H, defend your title in a battle royal. Yes, right, but Stephen Richards!
Right, but winning the title is nothing. Retaining the belt and proving that you deserve to win it in the first place, that's what makes a champion.
Right.
I mean, not that anyone holding the belt needs to be proven to be a champion. They've all won it 6-7 times.
Yeah.
That's getting a little ridiculous.
Well, here's a thought for you, as far as that's concerned. As far the multiple champions, multiple belt, you know. It's almost like they don't want anybody else. Because back in the day, you had the IC title. Uh-huh. You had the Intercontinental title, and that was pretty much the next guy who was going to step up and be in line. And you'd have the Intercontinental Champion or former Intercontinental Champion, you know, feud with the Heavyweight Champion for a good 6 months. Now, you're rehashing old feuds, bringing them back with you know, it's essentially the same feud with a different backstory, and you're not interjecting anyone into the Heavyweight title scene. You're not interjecting any new blood. It's the same problem that WCW had.
Right.
They refuse to make any of their own talent. Now WWE is refusing to allow anyone else into the Heavyweight title scene. It's Randy Orton, Batista, John Cena, Triple H, Edge, Big Show, and a random other person every once in a while.
Yeah, because they have opened the door slightly. Mysterio won it, CM Punk won it. But,
well,
we talked about it before. I mean, look at everyone that WWE tries to bring up and tries to bring into the main picture. They keep getting injured. I mean, despite the, despite the supposedly, easier working that they've been doing lately, none of them can stay healthy.
And no, I didn't forget CM Punk. CM Punk was that random other person thrown in. Same with Rey Mysterio.
Right.
Well, what I wanted to put out there, like I said, was, let's see, for the World Heavyweight Championship, Jericho, since Unforgiven, when it went from Punk to Jericho, the titles have been more or less every month since then. Jericho, Batista, Jericho, Cena, Edge, Cena. And that's just been since Unforgiven with one title. On the other side, since Survivor Series, it's been Edge, who beat Triple H, Edge, Jeff Hardy, Edge, Triple H, and Randy Orton. So it has more or less been the same five or six guys. And before Edge beat Triple H, it was Triple H, Randy Orton, Triple H, Randy Orton, Cena, Edge, and that's just going backwards. Van Damme, Cena, Edge, Cena.
Van Damme!
Yes.
Yeah, and what the hell happened to Van Damme? He showed up.
High. Whoa.
He showed up for the Rumble and hasn't been here, seen or heard from since.
He showed up for the Rumble because he was invited and he was in the area. Right now his wife is battling breast cancer and he doesn't want to be on the road during that.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah. So you know me, I'm the RVD mark of the show. And I've got nothing but, I respect the hell out of the guy for prioritizing that.
Well, right. Yeah. No, now that I know this story, yeah.
And at least he's got an open door policy. They obviously have interest in him.
Oh, yeah, they'd love to have him back. I mean, despite the problems he had, he did leave on very good terms, and they know how popular he is. So, I'm hopeful one day. One day.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at this, okay, do we want to move on to the main event? Because we're closing in on the top of the hour here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Main event of the night, John Cena versus Edge, last man standing.
And you know what? The best spot of the match? Big Show.
Yeah. Oh,
Big Show had the best spot of the match. I'm sorry. He did.
Okay. The match, I was loving the match. I loved how many reversals there were. I loved how many kicked off finishers there were. You know, it just seemed like every time someone found a way of hitting I hate calling it the attitude adjustment.
So don't.
The throwback. It's the throwback now.
The fucking F you.
That's a Death Valley driver.
Right, it's a Death Valley driver. Let's be honest here.
Right. But every time Cena's got the Death Valley driver on, Edge counters out, and every time Edge has a spear or a DDT or an impaler ready, counters out, and every time they do manage to land one, someone else lands one from a higher spot or from a bigger impact. The one-upsmanship in the match played off well. I love going back and forth with the counters because there's one series in there where Cena had the Death Valley driver. He had it on there like four times in a row, and Edge just kept getting out of it until Edge finally suplexed him off.
You know what? Cena's gonna have a valid point in this though, if he gets a rematch clause or whatever.
Oh God.
Because if you think about it, Edge has never beaten Cena cleanly.
Well, has Edge ever beaten anyone cleanly?
No, but I mean, with Cena, Edge has beaten a couple people cleanly. But Edge has never beaten Cena cleanly.
Which is a damn shame, because I'm getting tired of Edge versus Cena. I'm putting that out there right now.
Me too.
So sick of this. These two. I am. I was so happy when they weren't on the same show anymore. Yeah. Then they went and fucked it up.
Yeah, you know, hopefully. Well, last I checked, they're still on opposite shows. So hopefully when the draft. Hopefully the draft kicks in tomorrow night. So hopefully we will not see it again for a good long while.
I thought Cena was drafted to SmackDown while Triple H was drafted to Raw because the World Championship switched.
No, Jericho was drafted to SmackDown. Cena and Triple H are both on Raw now.
So is Orton and...
Orton and Shawn Michaels. And...
All the heavy-handed talent, for the most part, is on Raw.
Yeah, the point of the draft this year was to make Raw a much stronger brand.
Like it needs to be any more stronger.
Well, right now it's the only one drawing decent ratings. So they're trying to build WWE back up as an overall brand itself.
Well, it's because they put SmackDown on a channel no one gets, and then there's nothing to watch on ECW.
Oh, yeah. But anyway... I was loving this match, and then Big Show comes out and is like, oh, God. I fucking hate when they have a stellar match, and from Cena, I don't expect a good match. So this was, like, really big. And I hate when they have that run-in to finish, but the finish was, I swear to God, it was the first time in years I actually out loud shouted, holy shit.
Yeah, if you're going to build Cena up as Superman, you've got to give him a Superman defeat.
Oh, yeah.
And blowing him up.
Oh, come on. That was awesome. Admit it.
It was. I'm not saying it wasn't.
It was really awesome.
It was awesome.
The only thing that could have made that better is if Edge threw a bunch of t-shirts on him. And they all
cooked some marshmallows over his flaming corpse.
Exactly.
No, when WWE does those big spots, usually they have to shoot them from the right angle or it just comes off bad. And if you want the most recent example, the attempt to kill off McMahon during the Million Dollar Mania.
Yeah, because you can clearly see him run away.
Yeah, that looks horrible. But even in a slow motion, even like watching Cena go right through the glass on that spotlight, it wasn't like some B movie or even some normal Hollywood special effects where the second he hit the glass, the whole thing blew up. He was in it a good 3-4 feet before it blew, which is exactly how it should have happened. It looked really good, which surprises me for a WWE special effects spot.
I'm surprised they did it to Cena.
Well, you said it, Superman. You know,
he'll be unbeatable.
You've got to throw a tank at him.
He'll be on Raw tomorrow in a full body cast. I'm ready to get my rematch.
Yeah, and he'll win the title.
To give you a quick synopsis, Ustreamer 38877, it's not the fact that he can't wrestle because he can. It's the fact that he sold merchandise and got a bunch of teenage girls to cream in their panties. So they said, here's the title every time you get injured and you come back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's just the very cheap title wins. And Cena... He's getting better as a wrestler, but he still is very limited in the ring.
I love when they let him do the top rope famouser.
Oh, yeah, the big leg drop.
Yeah, when he did it at Mania from the top on to Big Show on the floor, I gotta say, I was like, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, John Cena can do his top rope famouser, but CM Punk can't do the... Can't do the Pepsi plunge? What the hell is that, buddy?
Because no one else in WWE is doing a top rope famouser right now.
Because no one else remembers Kip James.
Yeah, that's your money in the bank winner. That's your money in the bank winner, and you're gonna
Pepsi plunge from the top of the ladders.
Exactly.
Why can't we have that? Yeah, it doesn't even have to be intentional. I mean, they could do the spot to where it looked like it was just an accident. You know, it's not.
How do you accidentally pedigree someone from the top of a ladder?
How do you accidentally pedigree someone from a top rope?
Well, oh, I happened to grab your arms.
You know, no.
And your head was between my crotch. It's a complete accident.
You know, it's just. I mean, even if you want to look at it like they're not trying to impede on Triple H, at the same time, you don't want to do anyone else's finisher. And especially if you're not going to do it anything better, if only because you need to stand out and be original and have your own finish.
You know what I got to say, though, with CM Punk, that GTS, it just looks brutal.
Yeah, he does that pretty well.
That thing looks brutal.
Yeah, aside from every 6 months where someone's nose gets broken.
How do you take that? You can't take that properly.
No, you don't have any control over it.
Someone who's been in there, you can't. There's no way to make sure that you hit your head on their thigh every time. There's no. You're gonna break a nose or.
You're just sitting there going, "Oh God, oh God, oh God."
It's gonna happen. You're gonna get hurt.
I also want to say that I love the Cena going through the spotlight spot just because it finally made Big Show look like a monster.
Yeah, he's looked a little too beatable lately.
Yeah, they've never handled the Big Show right, ever.
Right.
But once in a blue moon, he picks someone up and he kills them.
Ustreamer 50972's got it right too. The Anaconda Vice is an awesome finisher too.
Yeah, that was pretty.
That was pretty.
But
sick.
It was also, oh look, it's the Rock Bottom.
Oh, here. Part of the problem with WWE is that their finishers have become nothing more than, you know, setup moves. The majority of the new finishers, you look at, we'll take the FU for example. The only person who used to do that as a finisher and make it look convincing that they were just killing them was Perry Satter.
Oh yeah.
And when he dropped it, he took them all the way to the ground and came down with his arm, so it looked like they were hitting spot on their head.
Yeah, but even he would use that move to set up the Rings of Saturn.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's like how the DDT's become more or less just another transition move.
Well, yeah, well, that used to be, well, you know, same as things like a running leg drop. See, now we have top rope leg drops that don't do anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're talking about the DDT. I mean, Edge for a while brought it back. I mean, the Impaler was his finisher for a while.
And, you know, right.
Until he took the spear, which freaking everybody takes that finisher.
Yeah,
the execution was awesome looking.
Right.
Yeah, and, well, they called everything he had when he was on SmackDown at the time the Edge something. The execution, the educator, the Edge-O-Matic. Which is that
still
drop
alive
backwards.
Yeah, that's still alive and well in the video games.
Yeah. Edge-O-Matic.
The other one that was pretty sickening that I haven't seen in a while, and I can't remember who did it, but Shane did it. Shane did it once. He picked a guy up in a torture rack and then threw him into a reverse neck breaker and yanked the dude down with him as he fell. And that just looked like it had to hurt. It had to hurt.
Kind of like a TKO?
a reverse. Inverted. Like, the guy was looking, like, he was looking up. At the lights. Yeah.
Argentine backbreaker into a neckbreaker.
Yeah.
Was that Shane?
There was silence for a second. He used a real term.
Yeah. I know some of my wrestling moves.
I went, what? He knows wrestling move names.
Argentine backbreaker, what's that?
I had to. I'm like, oh yeah, torture rack, same thing.
Yeah.
That's the other one I can't stand now, is all these idiotic names we get, because they don't get names like Argentine backbreaker anymore. You know, everything has to be the kill switch, you know, the attitude adjuster, just, which I, thank God it's not the Unprettier anymore, because that was the most moronic name.
Yeah, the Unprettier was dumb, but I mean, before that it was the Impaler.
No, Edge DDT was the Impaler.
No, the Unprettier was also called the Impaler at one time.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and then, so I've always found it funny how Edge and Christian keep being tag team partners when they're not even tag team partners, because in TNA, Christian started using the, what's the real name? The Impaler DDT and then the Edge-O-Matic.
Oh, those.
Yeah, he was using both of those in TNA. I was trying to remember the real name for that DDT.
Anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so don't start getting professional on us. You know, we just go silent in amazement.
Yeah, right. What did you just say? Don't even know what that is.
Deer in headlights back. Don't take it seriously.
It's not a sport.
Okay, so
it's like Kyle Broflovski's mom. What?
Okay, what are we looking at here? We got Edge as the champion again.
Nine times. He started winning it, what, 3 years ago, and he's a 9-time champion?
But we kind of knew this belt was going to change hands, because otherwise SmackDown doesn't have one.
Yeah, but I mean, still, 9 times. Jesus Christ.
37! Try not to suck any dick on the way to the parking lot.
That's just unfortunate, because that's written into his character, that any slimy, sneaky way he can get of winning a championship is how he's going to win. I mean, look at what happened. Big Show came out tonight and bailed Edge out. So apparently, this was set up for months between him, Vicky, and Big Show. So, apparently, the whole thing is, they either backtracked on the storyline, or they decided, okay, we'll just bring the whole thing around, and this is all just one big, really elaborate scheme. Is anyone following me on this?
Yes.
I am, because okay. It completely sounds like WWE going, oh, that was a bad idea.
Well, see, that's the thing. It wasn't a bad idea, and it made the Mania match a little bit better, knowing all three were completely out to kill each other. Here is just yet another angle to make Edge look like a really smart heel. And while I do enjoy a smart heel, this is getting pathetic. I mean, Edge looks like an extremely, extremely weak champion right now, because the one title match that he had where no one came to bail him out and there was no stipulation working for him, which was Triple H, Edge, and Hardy,
mm-hmm.
He lost. The one time he had no help is the time he lost, and every other time he's needed some, just some sneaky underhanded thing to go on. God, I have to reference something, and I'm sorry I'm bringing it up again.
Okay.
How Jeff Jarrett kept the TNA title for so long? This is every championship match, someone new would run in and beat up his opponent for him. You know, that's how in TNA's first couple of years, that's how half the fucking roster was introduced.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's what they seem to do whenever they've got a top heel who's got backup, because they did it with Triple H when they introduced the World Heavyweight title in Evolution. It was like every time he defended the title, you know he can wrestle, he could get the job done. Oh, here comes Evolution.
Right. And they did
it. That was how every match ended.
He did it before that with the McMahon actually.
Yeah.
And he did it and he did it again with the reformation of DX.
Like, at least Ric Flair would win matches cleanly.
Yeah. Well, see, that was my one big complaint.
As cleanly as you could be, being the dirtiest player in the game.
Right. Yeah, that was my one big complaint about Triple H back when he was winning the world title so often, is because he always had a faction behind him. And he never won the belt cleanly. I would love for them to be able to develop some heel who didn't need, you know, Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase helping him out. Or he didn't need to be boning the general manager just to get the matches he wanted. I want a solid heel. I want a bad guy who is evil enough to stand on his own two fucking feet.
I'm trying to think of any.
Yeah, can you?
Oh, damn. I don't think I can.
See, yeah. Because The Rock had the corporation. Taker, last time he was a heel, he had the Ministry of Darkness.
A heel that can stand on his own two feet? And that doesn't need help?
Uh-huh.
Easy.
You giving me an example here?
Uh-huh.
Are you just gonna sit there while we stare at you?
Ric Flair.
Well, I already mentioned Ric Flair. I was trying to find someone more recent.
That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, I can't think of.
Here's the thing. I want them to do it just once. I mean, not even a Ric Flair kind of.
You know what? The chat's right.
Yeah,
the chat is
right. Absolutely right. Chris Jericho.
Right, yeah.
He's a completely clean. He doesn't even. For the most part, he doesn't even cheat in his matches.
He's just an asshole.
That's the kind of heel. Yeah, but he is a psychological heel, and it's awesome. He's easily the best heel that we've had in the last decade. Easily. Just because he's an asshole, but he's exactly right. Everything he says is dead on true.
Yeah, but I mean, the one thing I don't like about Jericho is he doesn't have that. I always liked how Jericho always had that smarmy attitude that he would mix into his promos. Now it's just this dull, generic, I'm right, you're wrong.
Generic.
But at least, not generic, but you know what I mean? It's not what we were used to with Jericho.
Well, what we were used to with Jericho is bad-mouthing Stephanie McMahon and doing goofy little stunts in the middle of the ring.
Making fun of her tits.
But this Jericho, I mean, he is very right. When he calls the fans hypocrites and sheep, you know, here, cheer for this guy, and they cheer, and he's dead on about that. I mean, to a point, I mean, it doesn't apply to any of, I wouldn't say it applies to any of the wrestlers that were involved in this feud, but there are a lot of former wrestlers out there who are, you know, trying to hang on to their, you know, who are basically selling themselves out and selling out their career, trying to hang on to a little bit of that spotlight they used to have.
Yeah, I've seen a few of them. It's pretty bad. Have you seen Tracy Smothers lately?
Oh, no, I haven't.
I have.
I've seen a few times Jake the Snake has appeared lately.
Oh God, I got the unimaginable joy of watching Jake the Snake versus Scott Hall live.
That sounds fascinating.
Was it the whiskey on a pole match?
No, but it was bad.
Okay.
The ending was, let's see, I think Scott Hall won because Jake forgot to kick out. The ending was so abrupt. Like, Jake fell over, Scott went for the pin, one, two, there was a long pause, three, and then just the aftermath of the match, no one knew what was going on. Scott Hall got up, he just left. Jake finally got to his feet, he's arguing with a ref, he takes his shoe off. I don't even remember why he took his shoe off. His shoe was off. He DDTs the ref. Another ref comes out. He's arguing with that ref, and he just leaves. And I'm sitting there going, what just happened? And the worst part was Scott Hall was the more sober of the two in that match. Yeah, that's the rarest thing you can say. But, no, yeah, but I've had the joy of seeing Bill Dundee still trying to wrestle.
If he, you know, back to the Jericho thing, though, but he is justified in the things he's talking about. He is correct.
Yeah, a good, believable heel tells the truth.
Yeah, that's what makes him even bigger heel, because we don't, you know, the fans, you know, we don't want to admit that we're wrong. You know, so, in a, you know, it's almost a form of denial he is forcing us to be in, which makes us hate him even more. And it's brilliant.
Sitting there in your Shawn Michaels t-shirt. No.
Or sitting there in your brand new Triple H t-shirt.
You only like Triple H because they tell you to. No, I don't.
Oh, dude, I've liked Triple H since the 90s when he came out.
Yeah. Well, that's how I am with Shawn Michaels. I can't hate Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't. But a lot of... It's like, remember when Austin went heel at 17?
Yeah.
That's a perfect example. People started hating Austin because they wanted them to hate Austin.
Yeah, but there's a point where both on the Austin heel turn and the Rock heel turn, you know, the late, you know, after he first came back from the Scorpion King, he could not stay heel to save his life. Neither did Stone Cold. They still cheered the hell out of him.
I loved Heel Rock. You couldn't hate the Heel Rock. He was just too damn entertaining.
No, him and the Hurricane.
Oh, God. And I think that's what's making Jericho such a successful heel. It's why I'm like, well, I don't like it, because I want to like him, but he's playing the heel so good that you can't help but go, you suck.
And he doesn't need to be cheap to do it. He doesn't need backup. He doesn't need to sneak a steel chair shot in.
He's beat pretty much everyone he's been in cleanly.
Yeah, and again, it makes you hate him more, because as much as you want to see him get beaten, he's not even playing dirty to, you know, to keep his victories going. He's just good at everything he does.
It'll be so good when they get rid of Edge for a while.
I cannot wait.
I like Edge. I like what he does, but 9-time world champion in 3 years.
Well, SmackDown's big problem is that they've never had a credible second top heel. It's pretty much been the Edge show, just because they didn't have anyone other than Edge. And now they have Jericho. So
who was the top heel before Edge?
Oh, God, I can't even remember that far. I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was Angle.
Was it? Wow.
SmackDown?
Yeah.
The top heel before Edge might have been Angle.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
No, JBL. JBL.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
JBL was the top heel. But anyway. We have the WWE News edition of WrestleTalk Radio coming up next Sunday. So you will get to listen to all our shining voices again next week, right here at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Not 10-ish?
Not 10-ish, 10. 10.
All right. Well, my show will be the night before, midnight-ish, midnight and a half.
11 minutes past the hour.
Yeah. Eventually.
You want to give a final letter grade so we can get out of here?
Yes. let us do that.
Yeah, this isn't my show. Someone started off.
I'm going to go with
Hang on. Before we do that, we have someone on the line. Welcome to WTR. Who is this?
Somebody who wants to give away DVDs!
God damn it, Tim. Give away on your own time.
Shut up. This is my own time. This is my goddamn show. You're just borrowing it.
No, this DVDs. Is our show. No, this is our show. Tim, in the words of the Blue World Order, we're taking over.
In the words of, well, you know who this is from. Who in the blue hell are you?
I think the only way this can,
on those. That was awesome.
I think the only way this can continue is with I'm blue, da ba dee da ba da. It's my team.
Just hold up a second. What's your name?
I'm Will.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
You fail, sir.
I'm sorry. I just want to say, Will, you did an absolutely fantastic job tonight. Kudos to you.
Well, thank you.
I think that we're going to fire Spug and hire you.
Awesome. I get my Sunday nights free.
Well, at least Will's on freaking time.
Oh, yeah, we all know I go watch fucking pay-per-view. Fuck you all.
Halfway across Medina watching the pay-per-view. Yeah, you couldn't do what everybody else
was. I was halfway across Akron. And you know what? I don't want to get arrested for pirating. You know?
I don't know what you're talking about. Nobody's pirating.
Yeah. I paid good money to listen to a...
No. Nobody's pirating. We didn't download a goddamn thing.
You pirated the stream, jackass! That's pirating!
No. It was not pirated because it was not downloaded. There was a bit of a relay going on. That's something a little bit different. Let's not get into copyrights. You know what I'm talking about?
That's pirating. That's pirating.
No. No one was wearing eye patches.
Arr, matey. Whoops.
Oh, I do have a fake leg.
Jason Sensation. And yes, you streamer 366666, I am in Ohio.
By the way, I would like to take a minute to thank Tim Stein for firing Spug and qualifying me as the top host on this damn show.
Omega, you know by now it doesn't really carry a fuck of a lot of weight. How many times have I fired Spug already?
Yes, I know, but I still like to rub it in.
That's you fire again for not showing up for OTL. I was pretty pissed.
You know, the Bachelor keeps showing the hell up, except for his own show. So, are you guys getting ready to wrap up this little webcast here?
Yes! Jesus Christ!
So, I did call in at just the right time for everybody. Everybody still tuned in and listening. Thank you very much for joining the Wild Talk Radio Network for Wrestle Talk Radio Presents Backlash Aftermath, I guess you could call it. And when I got on here right at the beginning, I figured I'd just come on and do this plug real quick, Spug, because you fuck it up.
That's because I don't give a damn. There's a difference, buddy.
Well, you should give a damn, sweetie. Anyways, listen. Just talk amongst yourselves, but do it quietly, because it's my turn, okay? Thank you very much. Bottom line is, thank you very much for joining the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget to check out Wrestle Talk Radio. Hey, it's going on weekly. If you're a TNA fan, you want to check out the TNA shows. You get to hear Spug and Omega and the group every WWE pay-per-view night. And you get to hear them say stuff that's half intelligent most of the time, which is not a bad thing. But that being said, and the promoting going on, Wild Talk Radio is holding a photo contest. Now, here's what the deal is, guys and gals, everybody tuned in. All you have to do to enter to win a DVD of your choice, and we're going to give away a bunch of these damn things, so your odds of winning are absolutely excellent. If the producer is on the ball, he might have a photo or two that he can throw out just to give you an example of what we're talking about. All you need to do is have a picture of yourself with a sign that says Wild Talk Radio. You send that to admin@wildtalkradio.com, and you're automatically entered to win a DVD. Now, tell me, Spug, does that suck?
Yes, it sucks.
No, seriously.
Are show hosts eligible?
Sorry, Will.
Oh.
Well, that's awesome. Now Spug's fired, he can enter.
Yeah, you know.
I've got this nifty thing I can do with a stapler.
Oh, my God. No more staplers, please.
Oh, God.
Seriously. Here it is. The DVD that we're talking about, you're going to get a chance to win. It's not a it's not one specific DVD. We're doing something a little bit different than all these other webcasts that like to give crap away. We are letting you choose what DVD you want. Do you want a DVD of Backlash, Bad Blood? Do you want a DVD of the original One Night Stand, you know, the good one? Or even a WrestleMania DVD, be it 1 through 25. It doesn't matter. If you want a DVD of The Chronicles of Narnia to give to your kids or your kid brother or kid sister, or your girlfriend's kids, you know, just to try to get in good with baby mama. It doesn't matter. We're going to let you choose the DVD that you want. And all you got to do to qualify is send a photograph of yourself or send a photograph of a friend of yours, somebody you know, holding a Wild Talk Radio sign. That's all it's got to say is Wild Talk Radio. You want to write down, I love Wild Talk Radio. You want to write down Wild Talk Radio. Kicks ass, not kisses ass, but kicks ass. Go ahead and do that. We're kissing ass with the contest. Okay, but we don't need that publicized so much. The idea here is we are attempting to get some photos that will fill up our gallery section. And the stipulation that we have, I'd like to credit Spug with this, even though it's not his idea. If you're female and you're tuned in, and if you write Wild Talk Radio across your chest, you automatically win a DVD of your choice. You're not entered into the draw. We're all a bunch of perverted bastards here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and we don't mind admitting it. Do we, Spug? he says. What a freaking genius he is, I'll tell you.
He's rewatching the Triple H match right now.
Is he rewatching the Triple H match? Ah, okay.
Well, no, so, not on air.
I'm actually taking care of my checkbook.
Ah, okay.
Is that what they call it now?
Yes, that's what they call it now, Will. You're behind the times.
I was going to say something about a checkbook, but now that Will kind of sort of perverted it, forget it.
Well, in this economy, it does kind of equate to being fucked.
Oh, okay.
Omega's right.
Nicely done.
He's definitely got a point. So, overall grade for Backlash tonight, starting off with you, Spug.
B minus.
B minus. And Omega.
It'd be a B minus, but with Santina, it got to be a solid B.
A solid B. Will.
It could have been a lot worse. Definitely a solid B.
Okay, I like Will. It could have been a lot worse. Yeah, it could have been. It could have been Armageddon parading as WrestleMania 25.
Oh.
So. Yeah, give it a B minus overall. I think would be fair, don't you guys?
Yeah, that'll work. Sounds fair.
Yeah, I think that's all right. So, yeah, once again, we really, really want to get we want to give away DVDs. And so, once again, it's right up there on the Ustream, admin@wildtalkradio.com. Al Snow is now officially entered to win himself a DVD of his choice.
I think he should win one just because.
He's Al Snow.
He's Al Snow.
Yeah.
Now, there's stock out. Wild Talk Radio kicks ass. You know, it's an example. There you go. And then that other one that's up there, the girl with the red plastic hair and the Calgary Flames jersey with the sign upside down, There it is right there. She thought she'd be cute. I told her to send it in topless, but she decided to hold the sign upside down instead. Okay, she's entered to win. She doesn't automatically win.
Are you sure you didn't tell her to enter with your top down?
Shut up. Okay. Yeah, okay. 84405. Yeah, okay, we should definitely send Al Snow the best of Al Snow on DVD.
See, I was going to say that, but I was like, is there one?
No, it's 5 minutes, okay? It's 5 minutes long.
We could send him the best of Braden Walker.
Oh, that was low.
Ooh, yeah.
Not as low as Hornswoggle, but it was still pretty low.
Yeah, that was a low blow, dude. I wish I thought of it first.
Kidoki, low blow. Insert Lita joke. Okay, if you say anything that has the name Lita in it and it makes Omega chuckle, it's funny. At least to Omega.
Well, every
yes,
blow
Kennel from, Hell, no, right. Kennel from Hell.
There you go.
Every blow from Lita's low.
I'm not going there. Already did.
But so did Edge.
And Matt, but not at the same time. No crossing swords.
Why do you think she wore knee pads in the ring?
Hey, never mind that. What about the nip slip that one time on Raw? You remember that?
That was
anyway. Hey,
that was not a nip slip.
Anyway, let's wrap this up, gentlemen.
So everybody, yes,
we finally get to talk about boobs, and he wants to leave.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Because I got a set of titties upstairs that are real.
Who the hell are you, and what'd you do with the real Spud, the porn king?
Actually deleted all my porn off my computer.
Oh, what? Did your wife? Did
they got
wife?
Married, and it was all downhill from there.
I've been married for 6 years, buddy.
His wife No. His wife is the one that's been supplying him most of his porn in his lifetime.
I was figuring he was making room for his Triple H photos.
No, I downloaded a porn with a virus in it, so I'd cleared out all the porn on my computer.
Well, you know, the smart porn collector would have just scanned the files and deleted
I did. Dude, my entire My Documents folder was corrupted. It had to go.
So at least, well, now you've got a busy month ahead of you rebuilding the damn thing.
Yeah, I've rebuilt 3/4 of it in 2 days.
You've got plenty of room for that special Christmas edition of Raw from DX.
Yeah, this is why I keep telling you got to put a condom on your modem.
There you go. Ustream rate 2970. Spug, USB drive. Look into it.
You know what? I'm poor from Ohio. Fuck you.
I'm
dude,
poor.
I literally have 45 gigs of porn. I had 45 gigs of porn on my computer.
You've got more porn than I have hard drive space.
There's a really bad Ron Jeremy joke in there, but anyway, never mind that. to finish the plug that I called in for, guys and or gals, send in a photo to admin@wildtalkradio.com and make sure that somebody in the picture is holding the sign. No photoshopping. We can tell photoshopping. So no photoshops allowed. Also, while you're at it, join the forums at www.wildtalkradio.com. We would like to get that pumping like crazy. It's a brand new addition to the website, just been opened not for very long at all. I'd like to thank absolutely everybody who showed up. We have set a new website record for unique visitors today to the Wild Talk Radio Network, and everybody who showed up today and checked out the website, thank you all very much. I am just basically doing my damnedest to be as grateful as hell to all of you for supporting us, and that's one of the reasons why we're doing the DVD giveaway contest. I'm feeling generous as hell. Generous as hell.
Y'all need to take advantage.
You know, but
of
how instead of giving away DVDs to people, how about you fucking pay the people who work for you, you cheap son of a bitch?
Oh, that's gonna come when you actually fucking start doing your job. Anyway.
Oh, we do our job. We do our job. Don't even get me started on job. Fuck you.
You know, people are calling you the WTR whore, but whores get paid, Spuck.
Yeah.
So he's a dumb whore.
So he's Lita. He's our Lita.
Ouch.
That really hurt, isn't it?
Ouch.
This is what he knows so much about scabies.
Okay, there you go. Now, one thing is guaranteed, and one thing is damn sure, we are not going to be offering Another Night in China. The DVD or the experience.
How about One Night in Paris?
No, I'd rather stick my dick in a blender.
I don't even have one of those. God damn, I'm poor.
What
a dick?
A dick or a blender?
No, a blender. A blender.
The same joke.
I thought you already did stick your dick in a blender, Tim. That was wife number one, wasn't it?
Oh, no, 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 no. That wasn't a blender.
It was a Vegematic.
Oh.
No, that was a meat grinder.
Same basic principle.
Hey, you know, she had to have been good for something. I did marry her.
Yeah, so that means she had an apartment at the time.
Yeah. That means she had an apartment at the time and money.
Yeah, but I had her. So. Anyway, on that note, guys, please, everybody, join the forums. Get into the goddamn contest. Initially, it was 3 DVDs. Now we're going to bump that up. We're going to give away 10.
Fantastic. Let's get the hell out of here.
Wrap it up, baby.
Not my job. It's a Megan's job tonight.
Oh, now you want me to do the work. Okay, I see where this is going. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. This has been Wrestle Talk Radio live every Sunday night here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. Good night, everybody. Not a chance to chase a dream. Not a chance to feel. Chance to feel alone.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.